and Mahoney Morning Show. Listen live on the freeradio.com app.
All right, let's get things going. Some good news and some bad news to kick things off today. What would you like first there, Mahoney?
Dave, why don't we start off today's show with some bad news?
A well-known pastor from North Carolina is accused of relieving himself on a sleeping woman in the backseat of a Delta flight. She was returning to Detroit from Las Vegas. Alicia Beverly had a great time in Las Vegas, she said. Could not wait to get home, though. They were on the red-eye flight, and pretty much everyone was asleep, including her. She said she was curled up in a backseat next to her sister when suddenly she realized she was being urinated on. She screamed and got the attention of pretty much everyone on the plane, including an off-duty officer who rushed over and restrained the man next to her, who is a well-known pastor from North Carolina. According to sources, the pastor claims he had an apparent reaction to a sleep aid, which if you are liable to start peeing on strangers on an airplane when you take a sleep aid, then
he wasn't like standing up peeing on her,
define
right?
Define a sure was. Like define yep. A sleep aid. Did you take like a whole bunch of
Ambien?
Or did you eat a like some bunch of Xanax or something?
Or what's the stuff, the Dramamine, maybe?
Like not, no, Dramamine.
Or tranquilizers?
Yeah, no kidding. No. Really? Dramamine's for like motion sickness. Yeah.
So it makes you sleepy though.
Does it? Okay. Yeah. I mean she said she was obviously rather shocked, didn't really know what was going on at first. The pastor was taken into custody. Charges have not been filed yet because the FBI handles incidents in the air and will make a decision on charges. She said she is grateful that the off-duty officer was there, took charge of the pastor, and something is being done for his actions. But yes. Yeah, I would say that's highly inappropriate.
Young lady to have to deal with that on a plane. Like it's
sat there in wet clothes, by the way.
Again,
after
this
being
is why
on a flight.
Why when I fly, I fly the big front seat on Spirit because it's only two. Or you go Southwest right now because they're keeping the middle seat open at least.
Am I ridiculous for empathizing with this pastor?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I feel bad that like
you
if
feel
he was,
bad for him.
No, I feel bad for both parties. But I mean, if he was on like some kind of medication. And he, like, stood up and, like, was, like, whacked out. I don't know.
It's no more acceptable to me than being
drunk.
Yeah. I mean, because if you take that's something fair. That is going to so whack you out, you have no idea what you're doing.
From Las Vegas
don't do
to
that in public.
Yeah, that's true.
To North Carolina is only a five-hour flight.
No, so this is actually from Vegas to Detroit. He's from North Carolina.
So what? That's what, 3.5 hours?
Yeah, sure. 3.5 hours.
Something like that, maybe four. But still, you should not be popping an Ambien if you're only going to be, you know, pop a gummy like the rest of us.
Right, that's true.
Or just have a couple of drinks and pass out.
Yeah.
So that way when you wake up, you're hungover, not peeing on strangers.
I never will feel sorry for the P.E., you know? The P.E.R. is the worst.
Yeah,
the P.E.R.
Not the P.E.
Yeah, the P.E.R. I never feel sorry for. The P.E. always empathize with.
So a suspect is
Unless they want me to go to P.E., and then I'm not.
I'd love to see you do that
I'm
touching
not,
your toes.
I would like to see you climb the rope. Do they still do the rope
climb?
I
couldn't climb the rope when I weighed 17 pounds.
I never had that kind of upper body strength.
My weak-ass arms.
I bet Ian could climb the rope.
All upper arms for me, yes. That and the pull-ups. I think I still have a record at my high school for pull-ups.
Really? How many did you do? Do you remember?
Probably like 50-something.
No.
Yes, I swear. Give me a pull-up bar right now.
It's always the skinny guys who can do a billion pull-ups.
Yeah, you've seen my legs,
but I was skinny, too, and I just would always tell myself that my arms were too long. You ever lie to yourself? You're like, that's why I couldn't bench press anything.
I got these John Jones arms. They're kind of like T-Rex arms.
They just don't have any muscle on them. That's the problem. So some good news today as well. Thanks to a group of observant kindergartners, Maki the lemur is now safely back at the San Francisco Zoo. During a press conference, police say a man was arrested after he broke into this lemur's habitat at the zoo and took him. On Wednesday, he was discovered missing from the lemur forest. Police then opened an investigation. When they found the enclosure had been tampered with, 36 hours later, the cops arrested a 30-year-old whose name is Corey McGilway on suspicion of shoplifting and stealing a getaway truck. They later found photos of Maki on his cell phone. Cell phone video was taken Thursday evening. It shows him wandering around the zoo. Eventually, the endangered primate found comfort in a playhouse. And Maki is 21 years old, which is very old for a lemur. And so the San Francisco Zoo director announced that they are giving Hope Lutheran, the kindergartner school who spotted the lemur, a $2,100 reward and the family's lifetime zoo memberships, which is really awesome if you're a kindergartner, right?
No kidding.
But also, who steals a damn lemur? Unless you're just a really big fan of Madagascar.
Some dude named Corey.
You know how much a lemur costs?
Did you start pricing?
Every time I'm reading a story about a stolen animal, I always price it out.
How much is a lemur?
Very reasonable. $1,500.
$1,500?
For a lemur?
Ring it up.
It's top stories!
Here's what's making news.
What's the bad?
Well, this seems bad. More than 6 million households missed their rent or mortgage payment in September. 6 million.
That's a lot of people, Dave.
Yeah, the unemployment rate is at 7.9%, and it was at 8.4% in August. The recovery rate has slowed down quite a bit. Economists worry that millions of U.S. households face the prospect of falling further behind in the coming months without another round of much-needed federal aid. With the current eviction moratorium expiring in January, the situation could be even more challenging for renters. Moratorium will run through December 31st in most places. Applies to individuals earning less than $99,000 a year who are unable to make rent or housing payments.
Yeah, I mean, we have, it's been a very weird 8-9 months that we've seen here in the U.S. And with the relief payments and unemployment coming to an end, I think we're going to hit the strait of pain that is, right ahead of us here if something doesn't happen very soon.
So this is encouraging. A 14-year-old, her name is Annika Chabrolu. She is a 14-year-old.
Easy for you to say.
From Frisco, Texas. Just
won
the
20. When you have a baby.
Yeah.
Annika K.
Whoa. Chabrolu.
Okay.
She's a big fan of Star Wars.
Yes.
Anakin. Annika.
So from Frisco, Texas, but a 14-year-old.
Okay.
Just won the 2023 M Young Scientist Challenge and a $25,000 prize for a discovery that could provide a potential therapy for COVID-19, a 14-year-old.
How are you 14 figuring this out?
She got duped. Yeah. She got duped. She deserves so much more money than what she's going to be getting.
So she is an American Indian, and she is in eighth grade. It wasn't until she started focusing on COVID-19 that she had this brilliant idea. Initially, her goal was to use methods to identify a lead compound that could bind to proteins in the influenza virus. Mm-hmm. Her next goal, she says, is to work alongside scientists and researchers who are fighting to control the morbidity and mortality of the pandemic by developing her findings into an actual cure for the virus. Again, she's in eighth grade, yep, and she's doing this.
This is insane, Dave.
It's the sort of thing that gives you
hope. I was trying to, not wet the bed in eighth grade.
No, you weren't.
Well,
she's 14.
A different type of wet the bed.
Oh. But,
the bed was wet.
limited success.
Sorry, Mom.
Change the sheets again.
Maybe they're having some kind of transmitting trouble. Why don't we phone the station?
Got a comment, complaint, or opinion for the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show? Leave the good stuff on our voicemail. 833-YO-DUMMY. Again, 833-YO-DUMMY.
Please leave a message after the tone.
I've been out of business since March, and I called these guys and I told them, hey, I'd like to suspend my internet service, being that I haven't been in business for 6 months. Well, sorry, sir, we can't do that. What kind of is that? That's
message deleted.
So that's Ivan the Blind Mexican, and he has been running these coffee houses at the family courthouse. He's got two different locations. And as everyone knows, during the pandemic, they've been shut down, right? Because initially the whole courthouse was just shut down for several months.
And they've pulled everything way back.
Yeah, then when
they're doing it virtually, in many cases.
They're not reopening concession stands, yeah, and things like that. And the fact that he's trying to call these people and they're not letting him suspend his internet, is there anything more tilting than when you call a company that you give money to for a service? Especially if it's like a satellite TV company or an internet provider, and they're like, no, you're not allowed to cancel.
I feel like we should be able to
take them. What the hell are you talking
about? We should be able to take them to small claims court, but instead of restitution for money, we should choose between the money or being able to fist fight them. The actual representative that you talk to on the phone.
Well, blows my mind is that you can't even just freeze it. It's like, hey, if I give you $10 a month, whatever, just freeze it on my account, and whenever I can restart paying for the internet services, say, in January or whatever, we'll pick back up, and you're still getting, sure, at least $10 a month from,
yep,
me, and then just push maybe my contractual like agreement a little bit longer. I just don't understand how people aren't like bending the rules
a
little bit right now.
Why should you sign a contract with any of these companies? It's such a scam to begin
with. Oh, yeah. Like a one-year contract.
Yeah, like ADT. Like, and then if you decide that their service sucks, you
can't
cancel it.
Oh, my gosh. I always forget whenever, because they don't ever tell you either whenever your contract is coming up,
too. No, they just going to lock you into a new six-year deal.
And we're going to double the price.
Exactly.
The 5 seconds after it has gone up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, I am all for the fist fighting the phone representatives.
You say that, but Ian, you know this as well as I do. Last week, Mahoney found out how easy it is to sue somebody in small claims court. This guy is going to become a monster.
Oh, yes, Mahoney.
I love that they have like step-by-step YouTube guides provided by the state on how to do this.
On how to sue people.
That's right.
Dude, I got a grudge list. You want to go after some people with me?
Do you really want to be that regular guy in small claims court, though, every other week?
Yep.
The same judge is showing up, seeing your dumb face in a Tommy Bahama shirt? Come on, man.
He's going to have a special I'm suing people suit.
I'm wearing a bolo tie. Small
Of course you are.
Please leave a message after the tone.
Stop hassling Mahoney about his Ozark life on the lake, because maybe he was living on a beautiful lake and a jacuzzi above ground and the grandparents. Don't hassle, man. Sounds like paradise.
Message deleted.
It was paradise. I am truly blessed to have had grandparents. My grandfather worked for the gas and electric company,
yeah,
for 30 years straight. He started at 19, retired at like 50. Retired down to the lake.
Wow.
We should sue him.
No.
Oh, no?
And no, so I got to spend every summer down there as a child.
You had rich-ass grandparents. There's nothing better than having rich-ass grandparents.
They were rich. That was just the middle class used to be.
You used to be able to buy
60 years ago.
Lakefront property with an above-ground jacuzzi?
Yeah, you used to be able to retire nicely on one income, but that doesn't... you ever price out a lake house anymore?
Not that
we are all in the market for buying lake houses.
I love looking at things that I can't afford. I mean, like I'll go on Realtor.com and I'll just pull up like a $2 million house, like I'll ever be able to afford a $2 million house.
I think the Zillow app is the most used app on my phone.
Yeah, and
I'm a renter.
Yeah, and so I'll sit there and look at them, and as I'm scrolling through the $2 million house pictures, I'm like, this interior needs to be totally redone.
That backsplash
This is horrific.
How dare you? Who would even do this?
Who chose this?
I'm such a donk. I'm looking at a $2 million house that needs to be totally redone for me to like it.
Uh-huh.
Cool. But yeah, lake houses... Forget about it.
That's right. Hey, man, it was a good time. And, you know, I still haven't watched Ozark on Netflix yet, but I don't know if I want to. And to taint my you know, like teenage and young life experience that I had.
I don't think Jason.
Did you talk about your young teenage life experience and throw taint in there?
Yeah.
All right.
Please leave a message after the tone.
What's your favorite kind of chip?
Message deleted.
Oh, chip?
Oh,
Dorito.
Dorito. But which kind of Dorito?
Cool Ranch.
No,
right?
Regular Dorito. I mean, I like Cool Ranch.
Who are we working with, Audrey?
Oh my God,
Ian,
Cool Ranch.
Ian, can you back him up, or are you on?
I will.
Team Cool
Ranch. I am going to back Dave up
Thank
on
you.
That one.
Thank you.
I'm not a big Dorito fan. I'm just a plain Lay's guy. Give me the regular Lay's.
Lay's,
yes, Lay's.
Vanilla ass.
What? It's like a piece of cheese pizza. It's simple. It's all you need.
They're too greasy. So, like, why are they that greasy? How is there even that much grease?
Here we go.
In that bag,
chili. Cheese Fritos.
Those are pretty good.
Chili cheese Fritos.
You're an
up
animal.
In this
or the barbecue twists.
Where do you even get that?
The grocery store.
It just
there.
Seems like
in our vending machine right now in the workspace. Yeah,
dude.
Is that why you guys like them so much?
No,
that's your go-to breakfast.
They need the scoops,
dipping
the big ones. They want. They need to make the chili cheese version in the big scoop version.
You're already scooping more cheese up. You don't need to scoop. You don't need the
no. Because the problem
chips.
With the chili cheese Fritos as they exist now, you can't really dip them in bean dip. Because they break, but if you got me one that had the girth and the structure that the scoops had,
it
with the chili cheese on it, that would be a game over. I would mortgage my house. I would sell everything I own and just cover my. I would just live in a house full of chili cheese Frito scoops.
And this is why we'll never be able to afford to live on a lake.
Here's what's making news.
This seems kind of unnecessary. Nokia has just. Also, how is Nokia still a thing? So Nokia has just secured $14.1 billion.
They're still profiting from the years and years of all of our snake playing.
Is that what it is?
Yes. And that is not a euphemism. That was a game on the original Nokia brick phone.
Before we played with our snake while looking at our phone, we used to play snake while also looking at our phone in a different way.
I still love that game.
So Nokia has secured $14.1 million to roll out 4G on the moon. In partnership with NASA?
I love this. This is how we know we're extra. It's like, you know what? We need 4G on the moon so we could take our selfies while in space.
Oh, that sounds pretty nice.
The Nokia brick phone was another one of those things. Back in the day, we've talked a lot about the original Nintendo controllers and the televisions that you can chuck at.
Indestructible.
Yeah, same thing with the phone. Now, you know, you sneeze on an iPhone and it shatters.
Why you don't build, like, every car in the world out of the Nokia
airplanes.
Plastic.
Yeah.
Yep. Like, why don't you build the entire plane out of the black box material? Like, build everything out of the Nokia material, and we will be a race of indestructible beans.
Beans,
yes. A big can of beans. Indestructible beans.
Which,
beans.
By the way, I don't see enough Bush's baked bean commercials anymore because I used to love it.
Dog?
Yeah, with that dog who was like, roll that beautiful bean footage. And every time I was like, that dog's talking.
You are that dog.
I feel like I am.
Am I the only one that doesn't know what he's talking about? There's a dog that would go, roll that beautiful bean footage?
You've never seen Bush's beans commercials? So. Maybe
it was a golden retriever.
Oh, my. Nothing, and the guy with the glasses. Didn't he have glasses or something?
Yeah.
The dog had glasses?
No, the guy.
Which he's irrelevant to the commercials.
What does this have to do with Nokia and space internet?
Because it beans.
Okay.
Space so beans.
This is what we really need robots for. Earlier this week, the LA Fire Department became the first city in the country to add a firefighting robot to their ranks.
Hell yeah.
First off, we don't deserve firefighters. But the fact that you can add a robot and use smart technology to help firefighters potentially save lives of both people that are maybe stuck in a building and or firefighters
themselves.
You can't
think of anything more horrifying than being in a building on fire. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Or having to rush into a building on fire to save that person.
Back to dogs. Are firefighters the golden retrievers of humans?
Yes. No question about it.
Okay. Are we on the same page? Are you?
Yeah. They're not Dalmatians. Even though Dalmatians are always associated with firefighters. Dalmatians mean as hell.
Yeah.
Yeah, they kind of are.
They are.
Yeah, they are.
They're stupid
assholes.
And mean. Golden retrievers, on the other hand, lovable and always willing to save somebody. I feel like a Dalmatian is just going to be like, yeah, I ain't going in there.
Nope. Yes.
That's on fire. Why the hell would I go in there?
I'm running away.
So is this the end of Shazam? If you get a song stuck in your head now, Google is offering a simple cure. You can just hum, whistle, or sing the tune.
Oh, but that's the reason why I don't know the song is because I can't get that part of it.
But even if you just like hum it, you can't get it there sometimes?
Sometimes. Mm-hmm. Maybe.
So on the iOS device, you open the Google app and there's the Google search widget. You tap on the mic and say, what's this song? And then you click the search button and you like,
and then you can hum it.
Hum 10 or 15 seconds.
You're going to tell me. Okay. Yeah. So how is Google going to get...
Okay. Are you about to hum a song?
I'm going
to
hum a song, see if anybody's got it. Okay. This is the...
And Mahoney is an excellent hummer.
Yes.
Yes. You're not humming. Why are you yelling?
That's not a hum.
That was a hum. That was a hum.
No, that's like an aggressive like throat gurgle.
Was that High Hopes from Panic at the Disco?
Nah, that was Sabotage from the Beastie Boys.
Okay. I was thinking Beastie Boys because he's so obsessed.
Where have all the cowboys gone?
I felt like that was a hum. How else are you supposed to hum?
You hum like... Wow.
But I mean, how you try to hum Sabotage from the Beastie Boys?
No.
Without having to project from...
Dave Farah and the fake morning shoes. Wait, fake morning. Dave Farah and the fake news morning show.
You know you're putting fake news out there.
Fake news.
Plus, I'm a liar. Yeah, I'm a liar.
The Dave and Mahoney Morning Show presents Fake News Farah.
All right, Mahoney, Audrey, good luck to both of you as we play this game today. It's called Fake News Farah. You know that I would never lie to you under any circumstances, unless, of course, it provided a small amount of entertainment for me, which it does. So you guys trying to figure out which one of these is fake news. Again, only one of them is fake today. Okay. Story number one, a dude survives after being swallowed by a hippopotamus three times.
Oh.
Paul Templer ended up face to face with an angry hippo and survived despite being swallowed three times. He was working in Zimbabwe as a tourist guide when he'd been out in the water whole bunch of times, hundreds of times, with travelers hoping to catch a glimpse of the area's wildlife. However, he was out in a canoe near Victoria Falls one day. Things went badly. Heard a huge splash and a crashing sound, and I saw a hippo had hit one of the other canoes. The boat flipped out of the water and onto the hippo's back. In doing so, my colleague was thrown into the water. I was paddling over to my colleague. He saw when all of a sudden I saw the hippo coming towards me underwater. It seemed like a submarine torpedo as it made its way towards my canoe. He said he realized that he was inside the hippo's mouth, and he says the hippo quickly spit him out, and they desperately attempted to get back to land. The hippo came back, tried again, this time swallowing him feet first. At the same time, Paul also desperately tried not to drown as the animal was plunging him into the water, but miraculously, it spat him out again. At this point, the hippo appeared to be determined. Paul remembered it charged at him with its mouth open and grabbed him by the torso. Paul's left arm was completely crushed, and blood poured out of various wounds in his body, because if you've never seen a hippo's teeth, they are crazy.
A hippo's mouth is nuts.
He sustained 38 bite wounds, was rushed to a nearby hospital. Surgeons initially feared that he would lose both arms and one of his legs. However, they were able to save his right arm and his injured leg. And he now works as a motivational speaker. But dude got swallowed three times. Lived to tell the story.
See, originally when you said swallowed, I'm like, did he get digested? Because if that's... Is this some...
Yeah, no, that would be...
Pinocchio.
That'd be pretty obviously fake. But, I mean, that's still pretty a pretty ridiculous story.
I think the thing that throws me the most off by this is that a guy named Paul is a guide in Zimbabwe.
Fair enough. Okay, story number two. A 120-pound Great Dane gets rescued after getting stuck in a tree. Multiple first responders safely rescued a 120-pound Great Dane after it got stuck in a tree. The owner said the pet, whose name is Cora, probably ran up the tree in pursuit of a raccoon or squirrel after getting over a 5-foot-tall fence. He said that she climbed on a limb about 20 feet up, and when they got home, they realized that their dog was up in a tree 20 feet up. Aww. They called out the Cass County officials, who brought out a canine handler from the sheriff's office. The plan was made, attaching Cora to a long leash and a harness, and then lowering the dog to the ground during the plan, which had members on the ground holding a tarp to catch if she did happen to fall, which is pretty much what happened. Cora did fall into the tarp, bounced off and onto the ground, and then promptly just walked away. Didn't even show any appreciation.
Whoa, Cora's a little bee.
Yeah.
I'm not surprised at I love the impression. They're like, the dog got over a 5-foot fence. The dog standing on its back legs is like 6'6".
Easily. Yeah.
Those are huge ass dogs. I'm trying to think. I've seen dogs climb fences. I've seen dogs partially climb walls.
I've never seen a dog stuck in a tree.
I've seen a dog jump up like into a tree before.
Have you?
Yeah, okay. It's usually like those like Australian shepherds, like the agile ones.
Agile. Man, you're real agile. You should be a football player.
Heard the Southern jumped out. Forgive me.
All right, so third and final one. All right. A 7-year-old girl bought a dozen ponies and a merry-go-round after stealing her dad's credit card. 41-year-old Michael Murphy's project manager at an oil company thought something was going on and somebody was pranking him when he received a phone call from a delivery asking if he wanted to bring the new merry-go-round up to his 7th-floor apartment. But over the next few hours, he received a series of other phone calls concerning more than 200 deliveries, including several animals, electric vehicles for kids, toys, and princess dresses. His 7-year-old daughter had snatched his card and made purchases in less than 4 hours, totaling nearly $700,000 while he was working in the backyard. His employer had taken measures to get the transactions annulled, a process that could take a few days. In the meantime, he is still getting frequent phone calls concerning new deliveries and must find room for the dozens of packages that have already arrived.
Whoa.
7-year-old girl bought a dozen ponies, a merry-go-round, and all sorts of other stuff.
What are you thinking over there, Mahoney?
All these stories are absolutely ridiculous. The one that I think is probably the most true is the hippopotamus and Paul, or John, whatever that guy's name was, getting
Peter
getting eaten up, swallowed up by that hippo. We've all been there, had a couple drinks.
Peter, hippo eater. Okay, you think that's real? I thought you said that you didn't think.
The Great Dane going 20 feet in the air. I would love to be able to see the tree, but I also think that is kind of possible. I don't think the final story, the guy with the credit card and the 7-year-old daughter, I don't think that his credit line would be high enough, even if he had an Amex black card. I think they would still call him and be like, hey, what are you doing,
man,
buying like 17 ponies?
Why are you buying all these ponies, man?
Like, also, you're now on a list.
Okay, so final answer for you is the last one, the ponies. All
you're
right.
Paying for ponies.
I'm co-signing with Mahoney. I'm going number 3 as well as being fake news, Farrah.
Both of you are Correct.
Very nice.
I can't believe a guy got eaten by a hippo, though. That is wild.
I mean, three different times, right?
Yeah.
And now he's a motivational speaker.
This is the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show.
Glitz, glamour, fame, scandal, weight loss tea? It's Pop Trash!
So the movie industry has taken a really big hit, as we all know, because of everything that's going on, and specifically movie theaters. Well, now you can rent out a private AMC theater for just $99.
The whole thing?
We actually have a buddy of ours, Sully, who said that he did that this weekend. Like, they went and rented out an entire theater.
$400?
I'd never heard of this. So, I mean, it depends on where you are. It can go up to $349.
No, I got that kind of money.
But for, like, a birthday party, if you think about it like that way, like, sure, for your family or something.
So it allows rentals for up to 20 people, according to the website. It starts at $99, goes up to $349, depending on the movie, the location of the theater, and then other add-ons like food and drink and stuff like that. But I think it's kind of a cool idea. It's, you know, they're calling an audible on the way that they do things, and if people want to go to the movies and still have that experience, but you know, you want to eliminate everyone else in the theater. I mean, this
and
is kind of a dream come
people that you trust, and you know,
and you can also tell to shut up.
Sick.
And yeah.
Oh, if I pay $100 US,
that's right.
And you and I invite you to my theater, and you are talking.
You shut up.
I will fight you.
I'm gonna go and purposely sit behind you, and then just like accidentally kick your seat. The entire movie.
What
I'm
movies
sorry,
are even out
you.
Though? That's the question. Yes, I'm like, I mean, this is like, can you see like?
Do you know
old
what
movies?
What won the box office this weekend? It was that like crappy new Liam Neeson, brought in like $3 million.
Honest Thief. I've never even heard of that movie.
It's just his character from Taken. So I'm a badass that sits in a car and talks and threatens people on the cell phone.
The number two movie was The War with Grandpa, which I've also never heard of.
The War with Grandpa.
And the number
Robert De Niro. Yeah.
Fourth and fifth place movie are The Nightmare Before Christmas, brought in $1.3 million.
Good.
And Hocus Pocus brought in $750,000.
Hocus Pocus is making money.
But, I mean, you're hard up for entertainment if you're like, you know what, let's brave what's going on out there and go see The Honest Thief or The War with Grandpa in theaters.
Like, let's roll the dice and take our chances with COVID to see the latest Liam Neeson movie.
Ooh. Have you ever been in a movie theater by yourself, though, or just with like whoever you went with?
Yeah.
No, I don't
like
think so.
One of those dollar theaters, which have to not even exist due to COVID now.
I can't imagine dollar theaters. I saw a movie which, in retrospect, all sorts of bad. My dad, when I was real young, took me to a Bill Cosby movie called Leonard Part 6. And it is the only movie I have ever seen where we were the only people in the theater.
I can't imagine why with Leonard Part 6.
I love that movie as a kid, though, but Bill Cosby, you garbage.
Oof.
So here's a little bit too much information from Matthew McConaughey. He's talking about his father. He said that his dad died while having sex with his mom.
His poor mom. That has to be traumatizing.
Really traumatizing. Now, they were on again, off again. Like, this relationship between the two of them.
Not just, like, on again, off again. Divorced and remarried again.
Yeah. I mean, his dad wasn't really that old. He was only 63 when he died, right? And McConaughey was actually in his early 20s. But here's the thing, is that his dad told him that he was going to die while making love, and then he straight up died while hooking up with his mom.
Man of his word.
That's right.
Did he poison himself? Like, how do you go and know that you're going to be dying?
You just go too hard.
Yeah, he said, I got a call from my mom. Your dad died. My knees buckled. I couldn't believe it. He was my dad. Nobody or nothing could kill him except mom. She always told my brothers, boys, when I go, I'm going to be making love to your mother.
So, strangulation involved?
Right?
Like, what?
There's some autoerotic asphyxiation.
Yeah.
Cantaloupe! Cantaloupe!
That was always pineapple.
No, it was cantaloupe by UB3.
Oh, okay.
Is that who that
was?
Yeah,
they divorced each other twice, got married three times, but this is all part of Matthew McConaughey's new book, which is being released this week.
US3. I was combining UB40 and US3. But Cantaloupe, hell of a song.
So Adele is going to be hosting Saturday Night Live, which is pretty cool, this upcoming Saturday night, October 24th. And the musical guest is going to be her. Now, this is confusing because you think, okay, Adele's going to be hosting. She's also going to be the musical guest. And then they say it's going to be her, but it's not her. It's H-E-R, which is another musical artist who goes by H-E-R.
Oh.
So it's not Adele the musical guest is not going to be her. It's going to be her.
And her is actually great.
Yeah, but
she's won awards. She's won Grammys.
H-E-R, yeah. I mean, I'm kind of disappointed, though, because, I mean, Adele. Huge fan of Adele's music. I don't seek it out, but I have a great appreciation for how enormously talented she is, right?
You like her music?
I mean, I just don't. I'm never like, I need to put on Rolling in the Deep.
I mean, if you were going to put on one, that would be the one. That one slaps.
15 Grammys, Dave. 15.
I just said I have an appreciation for how incredibly talented she is.
No, appreciate you can't backpedal this.
I'm not backpedaling. I started it with that. I'm just saying I never seek out her music. I like it. I don't turn it off.
Top three concerts I've ever been to.
Oh, my gosh. You got to see her? Oh.
I saw her when she was, like, new, too.
I'm so upset because I was supposed to go, too.
New? Oh.
Oh, I was going to say, did you have like a lawsuit against you?
No, in like 2009, I think I saw her. So
yeah.
Oh, I'm so jealous. I was supposed to go that year too, and I had to, or she canceled because her throat. She had to get all that surgery done.
Like legit.
The concert right before. I've never. She's on my grudge list.
Isn't that weird though to have her host and not perform though?
It seems a little strange.
I feel like if you were going
to sometimes no, that happens. I feel like if it's going to go anywhere to SNL, like they do that kind of frequently. I think.
But I mean, you think that she would lean on? I mean, is Adele? I mean, I know she's done
a movie or something.
I know she's done funny stuff before.
I think that
before.
She's coming out with new music, but I also
like that skit that she did where there was a bunch of Adele impersonators. Did you see that one? And then she was one of the Adele impersonators.
Yes,
it was some skit for maybe the Graham Norton show or something over
it was
in the
great.
UK.
Yeah,
hilarious.
And they're like, no way.
I got a feeling. What happens if she's got a song with her?
You think there might be like a collaboration coming back?
A collab
because. Yeah, that's the only reason why that makes sense, right?
Yeah, I mean, you'd think that she would lean on the music, right? I mean, because otherwise it's like all the pressure is to be
funny,
really funny.
Also, can we mention this? It's going to be such low-hanging fruit if they tease Adele for her weight loss.
Oh, I hope they don't talk about that. Like
that's going to be like the easiest thing they'll get them just to be talking about on SNL.
Anybody wants to get healthy and gets healthy and feels better, I am all for that. But like don't – if that's all you're talking about with Adele, like talk about – how amazing she is as a singer, which, again, top three concert I've ever been to.
Only Dave's over here saying I don't even want to listen to her. She's garbage.
We can't be friends with him.
Yeah.
Hello, Dave.
Yeah.
Wake up.
Dave and Mahoney. That was the 2-Minute Promise. We never play more than 2 minutes of commercials at a time. Now, back to the show. Alt 107.5.
If you want to reach out and say hello today, 833-YO-DUMMY is the phone number. You can text or you can call us on that line. Going to Twitter here first, somewhere that you had to leave because you were scared. Heather said a high school cafeteria when the school police officer pulled out his pepper spray to break up a brawl. And no, I did not make it out fast enough.
Wow.
So
the secondary pepper spraying. Pretty cool.
My wife has been involved in a situation like that, and it is not fun.
She's been pepper spray?
Well, because she's a school administrator,
yeah,
right?
So
sometimes if things get out of control,
yeah, like sucks. back in the day when she was actually before she was an admin when she was still working
as a teacher,
yeah. Like, and you just go like you having to pour milk in your eyes.
Ooh, oh. Have you ever been pepper sprayed yourselves?
I plead the fifth.
Really?
I have not.
No. So like at like a college party, what they would do is if it was like overcrowded, they would literally open the front door. Pepper spray inside to like make it to where everybody would stay still or whatever, and then close the door back, and then reopen it, and then come back into the
police or
like the campus cops. For
really?
Sure.
What?
Oh, yeah.
That seems crazy.
And that only happened like at like one party that I was specifically
Man, you cast
at.
Party hard, huh?
But
jeez.
Yeah, we do like couches on fire, so yes, maybe the pepper spray was warranted.
Probably warranted. Yes.
This time of year, I think a lot of people are probably going to haunted attractions, and sometimes you get in over your head. Melissa on Facebook said Universal Studios Halloween Horror Nights. I didn't even want to walk in, only made it through one haunted house, and I was out.
That son of a bitch with the chainless chainsaw.
Yeah, every
always
time.
Waiting at the exit behind a bush.
Yes. Yep.
You are the worst person on the planet.
He puts it way too close to your face.
Yes.
I can smell the gasoline. I don't like this.
They made me pee my pants in a corn maze once. I got so scared. Straight up
peed your pants.
My pants. I look at it, and it was in the middle of it too. You know what I mean? Like, and I remember it. I was like, maybe 12 or 13.
Okay,
I was old enough not to be peeing my pants,
right,
though.
Yeah.
And it was like right whenever like your starting to like have crushes on boys and like have actual
boyfriends.
Were you with a boy
that...
We were like with a group.
Oh no.
It's like a birthday party.
No.
And I remember just being girl who peed her pants for like ever.
Do you think it is a position that is earned? If that's like, you know, you've been there a while, you're the veteran of that particular haunted house or haunted corn maze, or do you think that's like the new guy position? Because it's like, I feel like everybody hates that person.
No, that's the vet.
That makes you pee your pants?
Yeah.
Oh, no, I feel like that's a badge of honor. Like, if your job is to scare people and you can actually make somebody
pee their pants?
Oh, yeah.
But I also feel like he's probably the most likely to get fought, too.
No, the vet.
For sure, yeah.
The newbies are the ones that are, like, creeping around, like, the lines.
Yeah.
And the entryways and the parking lots, like, scaring
people.
Dude,
you know, like, Ian, have you ever worked at a haunted house? Because I feel like you may have. Yeah.
I worked at one at Navy Pier for a couple of years.
Chicago,
But I was the line guy, and they dressed me up as a bush. So I was disguised as a bush.
Oh, I love
that. She's like the Fortnite character.
They extended my acting career right there. Yes.
Every weekday morning from 6 to 10, the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show.
833-YO-DUMMY if you want to reach out today and tell us about a time that you were really scared. And did you make it out in time? This one got texted over to us, anonymous. They said, I was 19 at a girl's house who was 18. Her parents were home, and we had been drinking and smoking weed, and her parents were fairly open, and the girl definitely wanted to hook up with me, and I could tell, but her dad looked me in the eyes and said, if you try to blank my daughter and you get her pregnant, I will kill you. I said, I'll go get a condom from my truck, and left immediately.
Wait, what?
I don't know. Like, why were the parents involved in that kind of conversation? Everything seems strange, but the fact that at 19 years old, you thought you were going to get laid and he scared you into instantly getting in your truck and driving away, it just...
But what a weird
dynamic.
Situation to be in all the way around.
Yeah.
Do you just, like, ghost that person for the rest of eternity now?
Yes.
Yes.
Or do you
just
go?
I'm pretty much done. Okay. Or next time, meet me over at my house.
Yeah, I was a spring for a hotel room, man.
Brian said the Harry Potter ride at Universal Studios. Me, my wife, and my son went on the ride. I didn't realize how much movement there was. My son was about to crap his pants while screaming. I'm trying not to barf while also making sure we don't scar our child. And my wife was having the time of her life.
You cannot, as the parent, like, if you're going on a ride with your kid, you can't show sickness, right?
No.
Like, you can't.
You can't be scared.
Even though I feel,
as
an adult, it is way more, like, roller coasters, way more jarring than they used to be when you were a kid or a teenager.
I mean, you used to be able to get snapped around as a kid, and you wouldn't think anything of it. Now it's like you'll throw your neck out for a month.
Oh. Yeah, now I leave my pillow wrong.
I can't even hop on a parachute like a swing set now.
Right? So mine kind of combines both of those in a similar vein to the Harry Potter one. When I was a kid, my parents took me to Disneyland. And I got so scared at the Matterhorn because the abominable snowman in there scared, like the red eyes scared the hell out of me. Yeah. And I was like inconsolable for the rest of the day because I was just so freaked out by this giant, you know, snowman / Yeti.
How awesome. They spend thousands of dollars.
Drive across the country from St. Louis.
To take your happy ass to Disneyland.
Yeah, to Anaheim.
And the... A fake snowman terrifies you so much that it ruins the entire day.
Ruins the entire day. I was such a little bitch. And now as an adult, I am mortified to ride the Matterhorn because it ruins your back. Like my wife took me on it not too long ago, a couple years ago when we first started going to Disneyland again. And throughout my back, I won't ride that ride anymore because I'm like, that's gonna wreck my back for the whole day. And yes, the new upgraded abominable snowman / Yeti, even scarier.
Joe said Larry Flint's Hustler Club. Those strippers can be aggressive and not in a good way.
Oh, no.
Tanya said the movie Final Destination, Hubs and I went. I say we left about 20 minutes in. The Hubs say the movie was almost over when I got too scared and demanded that we leave. As we were leaving, I caught the eye of a little kid who was just sitting there munching popcorn and watching the movie that I was too scared to finish.
Oh.
Those Final Destination movies.
Yeah.
Anytime you're driving behind something like
with a log. Yeah.
No, that's the tanning bed version for me. Because those girls get locked into the tanning bed in the water and they like electrocute themselves.
Yeah.
Whenever I would lay in the tanning bed, I'd always just kind of like lift it up, lift it back down, lift it up, lift it back down. just to make sure that I wouldn't get trapped.
Andy said, I once got a temporary job working at a warehouse. I walked off at about 2 hours in because I had this gut feeling that I was involved in something illegal. And there were the shady people that were walking around the warehouse. Whatever was in those unmarked brown boxes that I was loading and unloading from the trucks had to have something illegal in it. I was given a 15-minute break, went to my car, and left definitely scared that something was going to happen to me that day.
Whoa. You were part of a drug smuggling scheme.
No, it was probably just like file cabinets.
Produce.
Dave and Mahoney, every weekday morning from 6 to 10.
So somewhere that you had to leave because you were too scared. Mahoney, have you ever had to leave somewhere because you got so freaked out?
I mean, there was a couple. There was an instant when I was a single man.
Oh, boy.
And there was this girl who I had really liked at the time. And we'd gone on a couple dates. And we go back to her place afterwards. Nothing had really happened at this point. And put on Lord of the Rings.
Oh.
The director's edition. So it's, you know, like 4.5 hours long.
Thank you, Peter Jackson.
Excellent choice.
Yeah, thank you, Peter Jackson. Which, by the way, I'm glad that he's making modern films.
He could have a whole other genre under his belt if he wanted to.
Okay, so what did you do? What happened?
Get to it.
Hey, man, we were making some Lord of the Rings self-pleasure jokes here.
Okay, got it.
Anyway, start making out with this girl. Things are getting hot and heavy, like clothes are coming off, and her voice changes.
What do you mean?
Like
voice
it goes from like a normal octave, like you would hear Audrey's, and it drops down to like Dave's, but like Dave doing his like super deep.
Oh,
like,
you know,
yeah,
take my panties
but
off.
It's and that voice coming out of a young lady, and
did that stop you in your tracks?
I was like, "What is going on here?" And it kept going on, and it freaked me the f out. Like all I could imagine was Sigourney Weaver and Ghostbusters, like when she becomes Zool, like there was only Zool, and I noped out of there.
Well, wait,
oh, that feels, like, that feels good,
wait,
Jason.
Wait, but I have thanks, questions. Bro. Were we sure she was? Not like trans or something?
Did you go downtown?
No, man. Like, okay.
Did
so
you
I
feel
left.
Down there?
I left. I left. Because I was
Adam's
freaked out. I was like, this is so weird. Like, is she going to murder me? Is she going to murder me when things go down? Yeah. And next thing you know, like, I
okay,
get out
of
it.
Or you thought that she had like a demon inside of her.
I thought she was just crazy at that point.
I still would have gone
no,
for it.
Yeah, man.
I left. I was sober. I left. I was scared. I was like, she is going to murder me after we get done hooking up.
What was the thing that she did in her deep voice that makes you thought that she or makes why you think would that she was going to murder you?
Why would somebody's voice change like that? But long story short, you know, I went back like a couple months later after.
You did it again?
Well, yeah, I mean, or actually,
for the first
time,
the
business.
You did you? How was it?
She didn't murder me.
Oh,
I'm still here.
Yeah.
Were you that first time?
Were you upset that you passed on the first time?
Nah, man, that was the right move.
All
right.
I'm just envisioning Mahoney's face whenever that girl just goes, "Oh, that feels good,"
and
Mahoney's going,
I think she thought it was like she was being sexy.
Yeah.
And it just killed the mood and it scared the hell out of me for months.
Made you invert.
Hilarious.
Everything
Henry
back
said,
inside.
My youngest son was 13 and wanted to go to a haunted house, so I took him to the Freakling Brothers one, purchased the 3-house package at the end of the first one. As soon as he got to the exit, he took off at a full sprint to the car and would not go back to the other two. To this day, he will not go to or even entertain the idea of going to such places. I thought it was funny as hell, though.
Some of those, you have to actually sign waivers in order to go inside of them. They're so scary.
Yeah, it's intense.
I'm not signing a waiver to go in anywhere.
No.
I went inside one that was an abandoned prison in Illinois, Statesville. The haunted house.
An abandoned prison?
Yeah, it was an old abandoned prison. They had
like
to sign
that.
A waiver and everything.
I don't like
went
that.
In there. The scariest part about it. Two people from Southern Illinois, Mahoney knows the type, were just doing it in the middle of the haunted house.
Ew.
In the haunted house?
In the haunted
that
house,
seems,
in the abandoned prison.
That seems real methy.
That's
the scariest part of it.
Those are the same people who like do it in graveyards.
Ah.
Wait a second. Ian definitely has done it in a graveyard
hold
before.
Just lay a blanket down and you're fine.
Yeah.
So you think the prison haunted house...
It's an abandoned prison.
Hooking up is worse than the graveyard? No, abandoned prison comes in higher, certainly, than the graveyard.
The graveyard's creepier is what you're saying.
Yes.
Yeah, but at least
if you go to the graveyard, you can pick up some flowers on the way and
it's
make it a little bit more romantic. Yeah, you just pick up some flowers off of a grave.
The graveyard is creepy
for
as hell.
The rest of your life, you weirdos.
Yeah.
I'm not doing it either. I'm just trying to justify my friend Ian over here.
No, there's no justification.
Wait, how many times have you done it in a graveyard?
Four or five times. Yeah.
Have you
half,
ever
half for
it was
one?
A
four, it was a rough night.
4.5 Drank too much. And final one here from one of our buddies who will remain anonymous, but you know who I'm talking about because he's originally from Israel. He said, "I had to leave the damn country. I had an affair with a crazy older married lady in my early 20s, and I had to come to America as a result. But I'm the happiest I could possibly be."
Maybe they're having some kind of transmitting trouble. Why don't we phone the station?
Got a comment, complaint, or opinion for the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show? Leave the good stuff on our voicemail. 833-YO-DUMMY. Again, 833-YO-DUMMY.
Please leave a message after the tone.
Yeah, hey, first time in a long time. I was just wondering if you guys have a preference for you to pick one of the three, motorcycle, jet ski, or ski-doo, which you would pick and why. Thanks.
Message deleted.
Jet ski.
Sea-doo.
A sea-doo?
He said ski-doo.
A ski-doo is a jet ski.
A ski-doo is a snowmobile.
Right, but a sea-doo is a jet ski.
Yeah, sea-doo, jet ski, same thing. For the most part, one you stand up, the other one you sit down.
The whole standing up ones that's stuff of monsters.
Those are the jet skis. Yes, yeah. I don't know if we're all in agreement here, but I'm 100% going jet ski /Sea-Doo as well. Like I want to be on the water. One of those. Never in a million years will I ride a motorcycle. Never in a million years will I get on a snowmobile.
Oh really? See, snowmobiling is a blast.
But that's the one you're most likely to die on.
Why?
No, you're much more likely to die on a motorcycle.
No, because you're not jumping wheelies.
You're not jumping wheelies, and you're not jumping snowbanks.
Have you ever been on a snowmobile?
Nah, man.
All right, then. Okay.
How many times have you fallen off a snowmobile?
None. Okay, once.
Four-wheelers, too. No way, Jose.
Yeah, I mean, like,
four-wheels I'm okay with.
It can definitely be dangerous, but the place to do the snowmobiling is on a lake that's frozen over because you're, except for the random hole in the ice. Yeah, I mean.
People fall through all the time, Dave.
Yeah,
Dave, I've seen so many Toyota Tacomas
advice.
just go into a lake.
No, people drive trucks on lakes.
He said he's seen Toyota Tacomas fall into the lake.
What are you talking about?
Also, hey, is this ice where truckers?
Shout out Lake Winnebago. I know how many Tacomas you have at the bottom of that thing. It's a lot.
Stop it. Be careful.
Yeah,
I mean, you don't go out like when the lake first freezes over. But the reason why you snowmobile on a lake is because it's much less likely that you're going to find like a random stump that's covered in snow that you're going to eat it on. Yeah, I mean, snowmobiling is... If you're in a good area, it's a blast. But I'm with you in the sense that jet skiing, not a lot of things can really go wrong when you're jet skiing unless you hit the land.
You've got to be real dumb to mess up on a jet ski.
See, what about motorcycles? Because we have traffic code. Like, we have laws. Like, but there's no laws when it comes to the snowmobile.
Everybody's texting while they're driving, which is why that is so much more dangerous. Very rarely are people out texting on the lake and driving. I mean, like, you're probably drinking and driving your boat on the lake, so that is dangerous. But I still feel like the safer version is the jet ski. Plus, you can hit some pretty sweet wakes and hit them jumps. And then
I used to think I was such a badass whenever I would hit those wakes and then just, like, go up like I was, like, Malibu dumb Barbie or something.
I feel like no air on any of those.
There was a show on HBO called Eastbound and Down.
Yeah, there was.
The star of that show, Kenny Powers.
Mm-hmm. You acting like not every single person in the entire world has seen this
because
show.
That shows.
And why are you talking like a sophisticated gentleman while you talk? That was a show. Where's the star? Yeah. His name was Kenny Powers.
Like, you need to put a little trash and mullet when you're speaking.
But him riding with
Kenny Powers.
Him riding with those Oakleys.
Hell yeah.
In his body glove shorts and shirt. Like that was. I was like, oh yeah, that is my kind of trash. Yeah, I am all in on that.
A little buzzed out there, just cruising around in your jet ski.
By the end of it, I was like, do I have a crush on Kenny Powers right now? Because I wanted to be April.
Same.
Please leave
she
a message
was
after
yeah,
the tone.
Yeah, she was.
I'm over here watching the classic Independence Day movie, the first one. I can't believe that there is a scene where it shows people inside of a strip club while there's a big, huge alien ship hovering over New York City. Like, who goes to a strip club when you know there's an alien invasion right above you?
Message deleted.
Well, where else do you go? What do you do? I mean, you know, if you got them, smoke them.
Yeah, I'm not going to hang out with my family.
Yeah.
Blech.
Also, if we've learned anything, like when like global pandemics are going on and, you know, the world is dealing with, you know, problems worldwide, I don't think all of us are we're not a Coke commercial. We're not all going to come together and hold hands and sing a song about carbonated corn water.
Yeah, true.
Though I do love that carbonated corn water.
Maybe we should that, and then the aliens would be so confused that they just leave.
See, I'd be trying to time it where I got the lap dance, and then it's time to pay, and then the world gets annihilated. Like, that's the way to do it.
See, I feel like, though, in the real world, it would happen to where it would be in the middle, right before you were, like really starting to enjoy yourself via lap dance, and then you get sucked into outer space, and that's the last memory you have.
Outer space. That's what I call it.
Is that her name?
Please leave a message after the tone.
When you turn 80, you can literally do anything you want. And no one will care.
Message deleted.
Fact.
Yeah, I mean, when you're old, you've got an excuse for everything, and it's just, I'm old. I mean, I see it all the time with rude-ass old people that will straight up just cut lines. You ever seen that?
Yeah.
Where they'll just walk up to the front of the line and walk right in. You're like, what are you doing? And I was like, he's just old.
No one wants to be that young.
He doesn't know what he's doing. Yeah, he does.
Yeah, he knows exactly what he's doing. He's betting that you're not gonna call him out on it.
You know what? My favorite thing is, it's like whenever you get one of these hack journalists who go talk to the person who's like 110 years old, what's the secret to being old? And then the old person just makes up whatever, smoking Marlboro Reds and doing lines and casino bathrooms. Yeah. You know what?
It's always the most unhealthy person that lives to be 115 that they ask what the secret to longevity
is. It's never the guy who's out running that 5K every other day.
No, he always drops dead at 52 from a heart attack while he's running.
Or he gets struck by lightning.
Let's get to the news. It's top stories.
So, neat. Colorado just exploded this weekend. There's now massive wildfires there. A Colorado wildfire raced through more than 8,700 acres in less than 24 hours. Quote, it just exploded, said officials. We do believe multiple homes were probably lost. Over 3,000 people had to flee their homes. It's still too dynamic to get in and begin to assess. So some residents posted photos documenting what's left of their homes, which is little or nothing.
Dude, there's nothing that is more sad than seeing somebody lose their home to a natural disaster. It just breaks my heart, man. Like, everything. Memories. Stuff can be replaced, but, like, your memories can't.
Wow. One person said, one of the things we grab before the mandatory evacuation hit are ballots. Our children, our dog, guitar, a few nice bottles of wine, of course, and that was it.
Probably gonna need a lot of this wine. Yeah, man. Like, I mean, I don't know. Does it just seem like there are more natural disasters happening now than when we were kids? Or do we just hear about them more because the way that news and information spread? Because back, you know, when I was growing up in the Midwest, it was either tornadoes or the floods. And the floods in 92 were one of the big ones. And then we had floods a few years later as well. But those were like the big natural disasters. But never really heard much about wildfires. And that feels like for the last decade, every season has been a massive wildfire.
I think it's a little bit of both.
And
right?
I also feel like I could ask that same exact question for everything that's going on right now, right? Like, everything that's happening in 2020, is it just heightened because we are able to see it and it's at our fingertips every single second of every day?
Like for example, I mean, obviously the whole world has changed because of the coronavirus.
Right.
But do you guys even really remember? Like, there was no personal impact for me in my life with swine flu, like H1N1.
No.
Like I get the flu shot every single year. So I don't think I've ever actually had the flu. Thank goodness.
You've never had the flu?
I don't think so. I've had colds. Hmm. But I feel like
feel like a cold.
Maybe. I don't know. I've never been diagnosed with, like, you have influenza.
Right.
Henry said there's a conspiracy theory there are burning states that are marijuana friendly. Really? I've seen a lot of really stupid stuff, but that's next level.
The conspiracy theory is theories. There's lots of them now, that are out there right now. That's another thing that's just like at your fingertips.
Is it JFK Jr. who's burning all these states? Huh, he didn't come back over the weekend. Wonder why that didn't happen.
It's a satanic ring of pedophiles that are also, they love arson.
Okay.
So Disney fans and workers are getting pretty restless. This isn't a huge surprise, right? I mean, a few dozen Disneyland enthusiasts and cast members are starting to gather outside of the park over the weekend to protest its closure. I mean, there's 28,000 jobs that are attached to it, which is significant, but the cast members don't want to lose their dream job, said one of the people that organized the protest. I understand why people are getting a little antsy on this. I mean, there's so much stuff that's open, and there's so much space at Disneyland. I think that you could probably make a pretty compelling argument that it could be open and socially distanced.
Maybe. Yeah. I don't know. I don't think you could socially distance it there. Personally, I don't think you could. But you're also protesting in the wrong spot. Disney would be open 4 months ago if it was up to them. It's not their call. They've been negotiating with Gavin Newsom since the beginning. I don't know. I personally, like I said, I've been to downtown Disney. I went there over Labor Day and visited, and to me, it was too crowded still. And that's with the distancing and everything really? Else that was going there. I didn't love it. Personally, so, but I also don't want people to lose their jobs, but also don't want people to lose their lives.
Well, speaking of, you know, COVID-19, which has had a huge effect on a number of businesses, not just Disneyland, the thing that everyone's waiting for very impatiently, at least I know I am, is the vaccine, right? And so the chairman of Pfizer said the drug maker will not have a vaccine ready until mid-November at the earliest. So there's, you know, been predictions that, you know, there's going to be a vaccine right around election day time. And they're saying, yeah, that's just not going to happen. So there's been a lot of push, and politically it obviously would help to have a vaccine.
That's not how this works. But that's not how science works at all.
Science doesn't care about the election. Weird.
Nor does the virus care about the election at all either. It cares about nothing other than trying to continue to spread and infect as many people as it can, because it's feeling, it has no feelings on anything. It just gets spread. I don't know. I'm ready. I'm ready for the vaccine. Day one. Sign me up. I am there. 100%.
I mean, even if there is some problems with it, you'll be fine. You got a big bag.
My body doesn't react.
You got a strong bag.
That's right. I'll be able to hold it.
I've never even gotten the flu. I'm still shocked about that. That's crazy.
Well, I mean, I've gotten, like I said, as an adult, I've gotten a flu shot every single year that I've been an adult.
Yeah, but I do too, and I still get the flu. That's what's crazy. It's not like an immediate repellent, because there's so many different strains, right?
I get sinus infections. That's my thing. I get sinus infections.
That's insane to me. That's insane. Good for you. You've got a strong ass immune system.
No,
and a big back.
Big back.
I feel like moving forward, too, like once we do have a vaccine for COVID, I'm still going to continue to wear masks during cold and flu season, because I don't want to get your cold and your flu. Because there's nothing worse than getting a cold and being down for a couple days.
And also, when you're sick, wearing a mask is actually incredibly beneficial. Like, that's why a lot of Asian cultures have adopted masks even well before all this coronavirus thing started, is because when they're sick, they put a mask on out of courtesy to other people.
Yes. Oh, you're talking about personal responsibility.
Right, and caring about others that are not you.
Oh, yeah.
Strange.
That's an interesting concept.
No,
yes.
Dave, you're just a sheep. You're just a
sheep. Is that
what
it is? Yeah.
So okay. I also think, though, because, I mean, one of the things that we as broadcasters, we want to come in and be here every day because we like talking. We like doing this. We like being able to converse. But, you know, when one of us gets sick, inevitably all of us get sick. That's how it's always been over the last few years. But now with the ability to work from home, I feel like even if I am sick, I could just stay at home. Or you're sick, you could stay at home.
Mahoney's starting to lobby for
I'm just trying not to get anybody else sick. That's all I'm saying. I'm trying to be courteous and still do my job at the same time.
So as it turns out, Zachary Ty Bryant, if you don't recall that name, he was Brad Taylor on Home Improvement, the older
the blonde one.
Brother. Yeah, the oldest brother. He got arrested over the weekend in Oregon and is facing charges of strangulation and assaults on his girlfriend.
That is horrible.
Yep. So officers were dispatched to a North Eugene apartment on Friday night after a reported physical dispute. He is now 39 years old. Do you remember how cool he was back in the day on Home Improvement?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, like, yeah. I mean, he was no JTT.
He had the rat tail.
He had the rat tail and little things on the side of his head and
always
everything.
Always wearing flannel.
Yep. He was sitting outside with his girlfriend, 27, and at a neighboring apartment, he reportedly assaulted her. And choked her and everything else, took her phone away when she tried to call 911.
Is incredibly problematic. One of the things that I was reading about this, and if you are the type of person who chokes somebody against their will, you are, I think it's something crazy like 1,000 times more likely to murder them. If you are
Have you ever choked? I don't think I've ever choked anyone.
Outside of jiu-jitsu match?
Yeah. I mean, outside of, like, you know, your friends when you're pretending like you know how to do jiu-jitsu.
Yeah, but myself. I mean, like, I hope that
yourself. Oh boy.
Oh, what, dude? That's how David Carradine.
That's how Matthew McConaughey's dad died on top of his wife.
Yeah.
Actually, I think David Carradine was murdered.
You do?
I'm not a conspiracy theorist. Dave Carradine murdered over in, I believe it was Thailand.
It was Thailand.
Yeah, he got.
Also, like, if you're a grown-ass man, why are you going to Thailand by yourself? That's how you end up dead.
It was David Carradine.
In a closet.
Man.
Yeah, it was David Carradine. Oh, so you're giving him a pass for that?
What? I don't know if he was there alone.
I have never known a dude that travels to Thailand by himself.
The ones who travel alone. Creepy. Yeah.
Always creepy.
But I don't know if that trip was alone or not.
Oh, I mean, he was ended up dead in a closet.
In a hotel room.
In a hotel room closet.
And murdered.
Murdered?
Murdered.
Yeah. But anyway, screw Zachary Ty Bryan. I mean, you had nothing but upside your entire life, and then you end up, you know.
Well, his mugshot, it makes him look like he's been strangling people before.
He's smirking in it.
Yeah. Like, I mean, he doesn't look like anybody. First of all, he looks drunk as a skunk.
Yeah.
It looks like he was a little bit on the sauce and has probably just gotten caught for the first time now, so.
Yeah, well, glad you're in jail, loser.
Call or text the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show anytime at 833-YO-DUMMY.
It is that magical time of the week where Audrey gets to prove that she is smarter than Mahoney, and are you smarter than a community college dropout? So these are the same questions that both of you will be asked. There is a sixth question, so there is a pass today, should you choose to use it. But Mahoney, is there anything you would like to say to Audrey before you leave the room and go to your soundproof studio?
My undefeated streak in 2020 will continue. You have no chance.
You're not undefeated. In fact, she won last week.
Yeah, she won last week. Yeah.
No, she did not.
Yes.
Did she answer more questions right than I did? No, she did not.
The tie, that's a good thing to point out. If there is a tie, the tie goes to Audrey, much like in baseball, where the tie goes to the runner, because there has to be something that will split that. And Mahoney is much, 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 much older than you, so he has the unfair advantage of being around for longer. So again, one pass today, should you choose to use it. If you get one correct, you will hear the screaming eagle of success. If you get one incorrect, it's the disapproving pony. Are you ready for question number one?
Yes.
Which country consumes the most chocolate per capita? So it's per the number of people that live there. So
which country?
Yeah, which country?
Switzerland.
How did you know that?
Yeah, what the hell?
Swiss chocolate? Swiss Miss?
No, I mean, it makes sense. I just, wow.
Charles Lindbergh? No. Switzerland and chocolate? Yes.
Yes. Never even
I
heard.
I forgot that. I got that
never
one.
Never even heard of Charles Lindbergh, but can name 9 different chocolates that are made exclusively in Switzerland. Got it. Okay. Question number two. Which of Shakespeare's plays is the longest?
Oh, I don't even know. I'm just going to say Romeo.
You do have a pass.
Romeo and
Juliet.
You do have
pass.
A pass today.
I'm going to say pass.
Pass. Excellent choice. Hamlet is the one.
That was going to be the only second one that I would have guessed because it's the only other one I know.
So pass successfully used. Here we go on to question number three. What is the lowest army rank of a U.S. soldier?
Private.
Yes.
She knows her privates.
Yes, she does. Have you seen a lot of privates?
In my day.
Have you touched a lot of privates?
I've shaken a lot of
privates.
A lot of hands of privates.
Why does it have an arm? Question number four. You have two correct. What was the first state in the U.S.?
Oh, crap. It's not going to be Virginia. It's going to be a little higher up than that. Mm. Philadelphia is a city. So is Boston. I'm gonna say Delaware.
Yes.
Hell yeah.
Oh my god.
What kind of train of thought was that, by the way? Wow. I was just working my way
Virginia,
up and then I just
Philadelphia,
put a pin.
Boston, Delaware? Like
it works. Whatever
I was
works
getting
for
there.
Her.
Whatever. Hey, my train of thought works for me. That's how I do standardized tests as well.
What book starts with the line, "Call me Ishmael"?
One more time for the question, please.
What book starts with the line, "Call me Ishmael"?
What book?
Uh-huh.
I'm going to say the Bible.
No, that starts with 4 score and 7 years ago. Moby Dick.
Moby Dick.
That's right. You got 3 correct. Final question. What object did Ben Franklin attach to the end of a kite string to prove that lightning is electricity?
A key.
A key is correct. Well done. 4 out of 5.
Thank you.
I like it.
Oh, that was really
hard. I cannot
believe.
For those of you that are in chat, wrong answers only, please. I think that most of you are doing that. But Mahoney has re-entered the room.
Felt like that took an extraordinarily long amount of time.
It takes the same amount of time to ask
collusion
questions.
Was happening. I feel like you're trying to subvert my 4 years of community college education. and make me look like I'm an imbecile.
All right, here we go. Question number one. You do have a pass should you choose to use it. Which country consumes the most chocolate per capita?
Pass.
Switzerland. Switzerland.
Man, that's what my guess.
But well, you didn't make it. Question number two. Which of Shakespeare's plays is the longest?
Othello? No.
Hamlet.
No. Wasn't Othello in Hamilton? I said Hamilton.
Hamilton.
No, it's not.
Question number three. What is the lowest army rank of a U.S. soldier?
That is a private.
That's great. Have you met a lot of privates?
Yes.
Have you touched a lot of privates?
Just my own.
Okay. What was what was the first state in the United States?
I want to say Virginia.
No. It was not Virginia, Philadelphia, Boston. It was Delaware. Delaware is what.
Man, that's not even a real state. That's just a place where companies hide money.
Okay.
You act like I'm wrong. What else Delaware. Is in Delaware besides the river that Washington crossed?
Joe Biden.
Dover.
Is he?
Dover. Well, I mean,
it's not right now.
All right. So you have one correct, two incorrect.
Okay.
What book starts with the line, "Call me Ishmael"?
A Tale of Two Cities.
No. Moby Dick. Moby Dick. What? Moby Dick. Moby Dick. Moby Dick.
Same book.
Final same question. Book. What object did Ben Franklin attach to the end of a kite to prove that electricity is in lightning?
That is a key.
A key is correct.
Uh-huh.
Mahoney, you well done. You got two right.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
Audrey, doubled you. Got four right. Smackdown.
I'm sure she had help.
No, she did not.
I protest. This is fake news.
You doth protest. Yeah. You're stupid.
Here's what's making news.
I feel attacked, Mahoney, that you even put this story in here. They say that the white noise sleep aids may be doing more harm than good.
You
true white
those.
Noise is the hissy fuzzing sound of all the frequencies that humans can hear that fire off randomly at the same intensity. In recent years, though, there's a whole bunch of apps. I use the ocean sounds on the Alexa for the kids.
Uh-huh.
And
do you find that helps them go to sleep
for sure
easier?
Yep.
Like
yep.
If they don't have it, then they're like, we're not going to sleep. Or
I mean, yeah, they can't really talk that well. So the youngest ones, I mean, but not having the app is a real pain in the ass because like, we're on a trip or something like that, and we don't have the normal little Alexa with us.
Right.
It does have a significant impact to the point where I've downloaded the apps onto my iPad, and so even like when we're on that RV trip. Mm-hmm. I took the iPad and turned it on for our little almost 2-year-old to go to sleep because she really needs that white noise.
So what are they're saying this is, but they're saying white noise is bad for you? Why are they saying this?
Yeah, they say that although some evidence that continuous noise reduced the amount of time it took individuals to fall asleep, the quality of the evidence was pretty poor. At least one study suggesting that the noise may lead to more disrupted sleep. So scientists are also concerned about the potential ill effects of not allowing the auditory system to switch off overnight, even though this has not yet been tested. It just seems kind of like people looking for a headline here, where it doesn't seem like the evidence is really there saying that the white noise
might,
is bad for you.
Yeah,
it could possibly, perhaps.
Right, so how long have you been doing this with your children since they were born, Dave?
Pretty much. I mean, like my son, who's 5 months old.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean.
So do you think it's the white noise that's helping put them to sleep, or just the conditioning that you have been, putting them, because when they hear white noise, they're going to want to sleep. That's just the body. That's just conditioning.
Yeah.
So do you think it's the white noise that's putting them to sleep, or do you think it's just the idea of the routine?
I love that thought. I've always thought white noise.
But both, right? I mean, it's like for me as a kid, I always had a fan on. And so I've always had that same sort of thing, like white noise.
I see.
And now when I don't have it, it drives me nuts. Like I have a hard time falling asleep without the fan on.
Dave, that guy in our Twitch chat, twitch.tv/Dave Mahoney, said, white noise is bad because that's how ghosts talk to you.
Yeah, right.
He ain't wrong there. But I feel like a lot of people who have tinnitus, which I think all of us have some form of from working in radio and going to a billion concerts over the years.
Mm-hmm.
You know that they found a way to treat tinnitus now, and you know it's the most bizarre way that they do it. They basically electrocute your tongue, and it does something to reduce the tinnitus in your ear.
And then all of a sudden, I got a kink for some electrocuting my tongue.
Yeah, like shove a 9-volt in my ear.
your tongue, Dave.
Oh, whatever, that too. That's fine. So this is actually a really exciting headline. A billionaire is actually being held accountable. This almost never happens.
First time ever? What, did he really? Not become a billionaire anymore, so they're kicking him out of the club?
A Texas billionaire is being indicted in a $2 billion decades-long tax fraud scheme. The 79-year-old, his name is Robert Brockman, which just sounds like the most Texas billionaire name ever, is facing charges of, hi, I'm Robert Brockman, tax evasion, wire fraud, money laundering, and other offenses among the official charges. The charges stem from an alleged decade-long scheme to hide about $2 billion in income from the IRS and defraud investors. Brockman used his web of offshore entities in Bermuda to carry out the alleged scheme, according to the indictment. He was also directly untaxed for capital gains, and they went to secret bank accounts in Bermuda and Switzerland. I mean, honestly, though, I mean, you think about somebody that's a billionaire. I get that if you're a billionaire, you want to be rich and become even richer. It's totally unnecessary, though, to cheat the system. Like, pay your fair share, man.
The system is there for you.
If a single mom has to pay, you know, 30% of her income out of, and it gets taken directly out of her check, and then there's some billionaire who's going to be funneling money that he'll never even be able to spend anyhow, and he gets busted for it, I'm glad this douche is going to jail.
Lock him up, man. If you, I take this stand. If you will put Wesley Snipes in prison, put all these fools in prison,
yeah,
too.
Bob Brockman can definitely go to jail if you're going to put Wesley Snipes in jail.
He is a national treasure.
Yes, he is.
He was Blade.
Yes, he is.
Passenger 57. He was Simon Phoenix in the greatest action movie of 1992, Demolition Man, which had a great corporate sponsorship in Taco Bell that was tied in. If you go back and watch again, you're like, man, Taco Bell spent a lot of money in this movie. 93, I'm sorry.
A lot of money.
And I will say, Wesley Snipes as a blonde.
Nothing better?
I'm into it.
Really?
Yeah.
How do you do it?
Getting some Cisco vibes?
Oh, you have a thing for Wesley Snipes?
This is way before. Hey.
Are you?
No, just equated blonde Wesley Snipes as Simon Phoenix to the thong song Cisco. No.
That's a bad thing? Are you hating on Cisco
yes.
and his thong song?
Yes, I am.
Well, first off, take it back. Secondly, answer the question. Are you in love with Wesley Snipes?
I'd let him give me a back rub.
You got a big Shirtless? Back, a lot of real estate to cover.
Both
big
of us?
Bag,
yeah. Yep.
Oh, boy.
All day.
This is the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show.
Tipsy or toddler?
I did that really good.
Trying to figure out if these things were said by a person who's hammered or a little kid can be a little bit tricky. Ian does a great job transcribing these. You could be, if this whole, you know, radio thing doesn't work out for you, you should be a, what do they call those people?
Stenographer?
Stenographer, yes. Yeah. A court stenographer.
If I could spell it. I would probably do it. I can't spell stenography.
Can anyone spell stenographer?
I've got a friend whose wife is a stenographer. And
stenographer? Is that like a mixture of a stenographer and Stromboli?
It's like Stroganoff.
Stroganoff.
Okay. Stroganoff. But actually, that's a very high-paying job for,
is it?
According to him. Yeah.
Fingers right. Like lightning. Yep.
So here we go. We've got five things that were said by either a person who's hammered or a little kid. You guys trying to figure out which is which. So Mahoney, you're going to read the first one here. It's you versus Audrey. Best of luck to both of you.
Number one, the C and the key and the C and the E's and the C has and the also count is also difficult. Bis, which one's which?
Okay, tricky.
Interesting. The only thing that's making me go towards drunk this time is because the word difficult. I don't really expect a toddler to know the word difficult, but maybe. It's a very smart toddler, so I'm gonna go drunk, a drunky drunk.
No.
Wow. Nope, it's like baby genius.
That was a toddler. Well, let's have a listen.
The C and the K and the C and the S. The C has and also K. It's so difficult. It's which one's which?
Yep, I get that.
That's a big toddler. That's an adult size toddler.
No, but you can hear what she's talking about like the differences between the sounds, between the C's and the K's and the E's and the S's.
So, Audrey, man. We award you no points. May God have mercy on your soul. Take it away at number two.
Number two. No, work is a hit it. Stop, man. Stop, me. Key spoiled the little man. Just a mesh.
Is that a tipsy person or a toddler?
I'm going to go with that as a tipsy person, Dave.
Yes, well done. Let's have a listen.
Not working. Stop, man. Stop, man. I keep spoiled the little man. times, man.
Stop, man.
What are you doing, man?
He's being tickled.
We have all had that friend where he's just laying on the couch, who's passed out first.
All right, here we go on to number three. Ring in by saying your name when you think you know the correct answer. Eddie! One, no, I. Any, are you thinking better than a minute, not a thinker? Laura, how's a guy?
Audrey.
Yes, Audrey.
That's a toddler.
No.
Dang, I stink at this
that
game.
That is a tipsy person.
That is. Well done, Mahoney. Let's have a listen.
Eddie, one, no, I. Any of you think you're better than me, you're good for not a thing.
That's Mahoney.
That might be Mahoney after our beer fest this past weekend.
That is Mahoney, especially that first part. That's Mahoney.
You think you're better than me.
Any of you think you're better than me, you're good for not a thing.
That's totally
where was this video taken?
My man.
That is just a random video. I don't know the source or the location, but all I know is that guy was hammered.
That was Monday. That was Monday last week before Mahoney passed out and puked up. I see.
It's Kool-Aid. Get it right. It's Kool-Aid.
All right, Mahoney, you still have a point. Audrey has no points so far. Ian, on to number four.
All right, clip number four. What kind of dog? Oh, wait. What's the only kind of dog you can eat? No, well, Hup died and hurt dogs.
Audrey.
Yes, Audrey.
That is a toddler.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
God. Actually,
yes, it is. Thank God.
What kind of dog? What's the only kind of dog that you can eat?
No, Hup dies and hurt dogs.
All right.
She's working on her. No, I think she was. Was she working on a stand-up set?
Don't open with that one.
Like, what is
if
the only kind of
stand-up set? The way that you should start is.
All
right, fifth and final one. Each of you have 1 point. It all comes down to this. All right. Hey, you know, man, I know early I knew you wrong, but I like, you know, if you die, I'm cry.
Mahoney.
Audrey.
I love you, man. Give me a hug.
Audrey.
Mahoney.
Mahoney's first.
That is a drunk. That
for
is
the
a
win,
tipsy person.
It is.
Woo! No, I wish a toddler would say, I love you, man.
Let's have a listen.
Now, you know, man, I know I really knew you had a good role, but, like, you know, if you die, I would cry. I love you, man. Can you give me a hug?
It's Top Stories.
Here's what's making news.
So if you're ever feeling bored or sad and you want to watch something that'll cheer you up, researchers say that watching nature shows can help to cure boredom and sadness.
I love putting on anything. Like, have you seen David Attenborough's new documentary that they just posted on Netflix?
No.
Ooh,
good.
Well, he's like the soundtrack to my whole life. Like, him and Alex Trebek, between the two of them, whenever one of them goes, because they are both very old, I will be devastated.
Yeah.
But it's about his like life as going behind the scenes and not just being a narrator, but also like the photography behind it all. And I haven't started it yet because I have an emotional tie to him. And just the whole thing from start to finish, I can't wait to start it.
So I wish they would have like the Nat Geo channel like it used to be, where they would just show hours and hours of high quality footage of just nature. That's all I want to see. I don't need narrating. All I want is like nature sounds, and I am in.
I think that's what they have that on Netflix, and it's called like Moving Art or Art in Nature or something like that. And it's exactly that. And you get to pick your landscape and where it's at. And there's no narration.
Crocodile. That's what I want. That's the kind of nature. I want real nature, brutal nature, violent nature.
That's whenever I turn it off. Nope.
Who wins in that fight? The hippo wins in that fight every time, right?
Always hippo.
Yeah, I mean, crocodile or alligator ain't messing with a hippo. Hippo's a tank with big ass teeth.
Man, what's that one video called? The Battle of whatever it is.
Where the alligators were trying
to steal the alligators versus the
gazelles, and then the lions come in.
The lions are in there, and it's the craziest thing you've ever seen. It's like 45 minutes of just this all-out
then like an
jungle
elephant
brawl.
Just rolls through and just kicks everybody.
It's like water buffalo, and it's nuts.
It's like it's the most ridiculous animal battle royale of all time.
Yeah, it is some straight-up WWE stuff. So we were talking earlier about how we don't deserve firefighters, and firefighters and paramedics in Florida finished mowing a man's lawn after treating him for heat exhaustion that he suffered while mowing it. So they treated this guy. He was out mowing his yard. This is in Florida, and he falls over and starts suffering from heat exhaustion. And they you know, obviously concerned. He's an Army vet. The rescue crew, they arrived within a couple of minutes after a passerby saw him struggling, his wife out there struggling to, like, hold him up while calling for help. The veteran served as a missile tech all the way back in Vietnam. The first responders say they appreciated what he did to serve the country. So they come there. They, you know, maybe save his life or at least give him some much-needed aid, get him back into a comfy and cool setting so his body temperature can come down. But then they realize that his yard is half-mowed. And so the firefighters go out there and finish mowing this dude's yard.
Oh, that's amazing.
It's just, I mean, again. Well,
was it a push mower or was it a ride
mower?
It was a push mower. If it was a ride mower, everyone's like, damn, I want to ride that thing.
One of those zero-turn radius lawnmowers. Man. I'm like, oh, I would mow every yard with one
of
those.
You would not. You'd buy somebody. You'd pay for somebody to do it.
Probably.
Yeah.
I like supporting local business.
How is that it?
So a night shift employee at a supermarket, this is from Las Vegas, said that they realized that there was a person living above the grocery store in the attic. The workers at Rally's called the cops when they learned that there was a foot sticking out of the ceiling, and that foot belonged to a dude named Matthew Hammer, who was reportedly living in the store's ceiling for about a week. Police say that Hammer was able to gain access to the building via an exterior ladder that led to the roof before he crawled into the rafters and stayed there for a week. Additionally, he reportedly would steal food from the deli, and he had made himself at home. I mean, if you're gonna camp out somewhere, like right above a deli, you can go down there, you get some of that sweet-ass potato salad. You know what I'm talking about, Audrey.
I do. The potato salad's so good.
So filling, delicious.
That's what you're gonna steal from the deli, is the potato salad?
Because it's already cold.
Yeah.
No, I'm going for that horse head roast beef.
I'm gonna give me some crab legs.
Some crab legs.
That's a seafood.
It's usually right there by the deli.
I'm going to the chip aisle.
Are you the guy that eats the grocery store sushi?
No, no, absolutely. I'm not that.
Also, I do. What's wrong with the grocery store sushi?
It just seems like it's been sitting there for a while. I don't know.
No,
I don't trust it.
Now, the grocery store sushi is marketed. It's the gas station sushi that you can't trust.
Wait, they sell gas station sushi?
If you've never been to a gas station with sushi.
You ever hit rock bottom, Dave?
Not yet. I thought I had, but now I know there's a couple of more rungs down, so it's nice to know. And finally, one girl, she's 28 years old. Her name is McKenna Myler. She's going viral on TikTok. The video that she posted got over 700,000 views. She is 9 months pregnant, and the reason she's going viral is because she was out there running a mile.
She's 9 months pregnant. She's trying to get that baby to come.
She did it. Under 8 minutes during her 9 month of pregnancy. She said the first
sub 10 minute mile.
She's scooting.
I mean, so the first 2.5 laps, she had trained for this, and she also said, you know, the doctor gave me the go ahead. I'm not out here risking my child's life for TikTok.
Yeah, especially if you are already like working out pre baby, you can go ahead and continue to do it.
Yeah, she ran the first 2.5 laps pretty easy, and then she said her form kind of turned into more of an emperor penguin style because it was the side to side motion, but sub 8 minutes while 9 months pregnant.
Did
very
she give
impressive.
Birth to, like, the next day or something?
She should have.
No, I mean, she's very pregnant, though, so.
Oh, my gosh. That's so cool.
It's also kind of annoying. You're like,
I can't even do it not pregnant.
Right?
It's people whose lifetime goal is to own a fireworks stand. It's the Redneck Report.
Look, it's 2020. We hear a lot of stupid names for kids these days, but this is taking it to the next level, which is why it leads us off in the Redneck Report. And by the way, it just goes to show that the rednecks can exist anywhere in the world. It's not just a Florida thing. There's a lot in Florida.
It's like
obviously.
A Karen, Dave. It's a mindset.
Right. So this couple has decided to name their daughter after an internet provider to get free Wi-Fi for 18 years.
Oh, I hope. God, I hate that so much. And I hope that kid just, like, puts you in a home. I'm going to name my parents after a home and get free free home care when you get old, Mom.
So basically all you have to do is simply upload a photo of your child's civil birth certificate after verification. TwiFi, which is the company, will give you 18 years of free internet.
The new parents,
30 and 35, wish to remain anonymous. Cool. They gave their baby girl the name TwiFia.
Oh, no. So
TwiFia.
Do you just call her Twi?
No, you
or Fifi. Fia? Fifi? Fifi.
Like yeah. Mom, really, you decided to name me something that I'm going to be made fun of incessantly for my entire life. It's actually probably going to hurt me getting jobs in the future. I'm going to be able to be stalked online.
So you can save $30 a month. Cool.
That's not even forever. The platinum package. This so is the stupid. Basic version that you're giving us. You're giving us five down and two up.
So you guys, I mean, you know how, you know, when people get caught doing something, they'll come up with some pretty stupid excuses. Mm-hmm. You guys tell me if you're buying this. A dude is accused of going to town on himself in the LSU parking lot, but he claims that he was not, in fact, pleasuring himself in the parking lot of the stadium. He was playing air drums, is what he says.
Okay.
What? Do you just think that he was imagining or, like, hearing Coach O's voice in the background?
This dude is 72 years old.
Oh, no.
And to make it even creepier, he was supposedly watching a female college student.
Oh, no.
From his truck.
No.
The passerby said that James Cousins, who has got to be Kirk Cousins' dad, was pleasuring himself while he watched the student enter the building. The witness said he could see the guy's junk, but he could also couldn't see his junk, rather, but could tell what was happening based on the way that he was moving his arm. Campus police checked surveillance video and were able to spot the truck. He was sitting in the parking lot for about 9 minutes. Once the officers identified Cousins as the owner of the truck, it is learned that he's been arrested on several obscene charges in the past, okay, dating all the way back to 1981. But he's standing by his statement that he was...
Just listening to some Phil Collins?
Yeah, I mean, just
jamming out? I mean, when you hear this...
You just start, you're like... Mm-hmm.
Well, you have to do that solo. No.
Did you put the whole song in here?
Yeah, that was an accident.
We got that was an
accident.
Solo.
Hang on, let me see if I can find how far in the
drum
solo.
No.
Don't even worry.
Wait, no. You know you can see with those sound waves.
Nope.
No.
Here it comes. It's coming.
Is this also what it was like? He was just like slowly getting to the climax.
Yeah.
And then slowly getting to the climax of the song, and that's whenever the drum solo actually went.
Nope, I thought that was it.
It's coming. I just want to keep playing.
No, it's too long, man.
No.
So did he get arrested?
That's not important. I'm looking for the
whole thing. There it is. Dave, clearly that's where it is.
I found it.
Right here.
Yeah, I found it. I'm just realizing how inappropriate these lyrics are.
Yes. Well.
Was I the only one who did not know that Phil Collins was a drummer?
What?
Genesis, dude. Come on.
Until when?
Breaking news to me as well.
No, like he's one of those few. Like Phil, that's Phil Collins playing.
You did not know that?
No,
I had no idea until I saw it live.
I'm leaving right now. You guys both did not know that?
No, I never saw that video. And when I finally saw the video and I saw Phil Collins playing the drums and singing, I'm like,
wait. So he's playing it while he's singing it?
Yes, and he's the drummer in Genesis. Yes,
this whole time. Huh? I've never seen the video. I didn't. I mean,
and isn't his son a drummer as well? Yeah.
I have no idea.
Oh my gosh! Whoa.
Yeah, it took about 9 minutes to get to that drum solo.
Yeah, sorry about that. So there's a dude who got arrested in Miami, 39 years old. His name is Habib. He was speeding. He was going 100 miles per hour in a 35 zone, but he had rented a Porsche 911 Turbo.
Hell yeah.
And so he decided that he was going to put it to use, but going 135, maybe a bit much. But I'm of the thinking that, you know, I mean, if you're going to rent
Was it on the highway?
No, I mean, it was through a residential area.
Oh, 135 through a residential area.
No, just 100 in a 35.
Oh, okay.
100 in a 35.
I thought you were saying he was going 135.
Yeah, no. And Mahoney, finally, we have a story about somebody who, again, has taken your advice. I'm sure that Derek McKay was listening. He got pulled over for speeding initially, but when they started talking to him, they noticed that he seemed nervous and that there was a smell of marijuana. Mm-hmm. He claimed he didn't have anything illegal in his custody after he was brought to jail for driving on a suspended license. He confessed that he was hiding narcotics.
Where?
In his ass.
Of course.
He then proceeded to remove more than a dozen small baggies from his booty, including a small baggie of crack, 8 small baggies of heroin, 2 small baggies of molly. Man, his ass is a party. I mean,
was he a pinata?
Maybe they're having some kind of transmitting trouble. Why don't we phone the station?
Got a comment, complaint, or opinion for the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show? Leave the good stuff on our voicemail. 833-YO-DUMMY. Again, 833-YO-DUMMY.
Please leave a message after the tone.
So when was the last time you had your bubble busted?
I bought like this yellow shirt, you know, pretty plain yellow, not like too bright, not too dark, just like I would say average yellow shirt, and I was wearing it out and about. And like this, I was at a grocery store, and this little girl that was like in the car with her mom, like she points at me, she's like, "Mommy, why is that man wearing a yellow shirt?" And like I don't know, I wanted to take that shirt off right on the spot. I don't think I've worn it since then.
Message deleted.
Aww. Yeah, no, the last time for me is because I got glasses. I told you guys that my little 1-year-old who's about to be 2, you know, had to get glasses, and so we're like, okay, well, you know, we'll all get glasses. I got an eye exam. They're like, yeah, you can probably, it's like a light-ish prescription, but they're like, you probably use glasses. And so I got 2 pairs, and it's during the pandemic and everything, and so I went to this place called Warby Parker because they have this app where you can like virtually try them on ahead of time, and I went in to get the pair that I wanted, and then they're like, oh, do you want to get this other pair? And they have like clear frames.
Yeah. I love Warby Parker. Yeah,
and I remember that Mahoney instantly said, those aren't really your glasses, are they?
And he was like bagging on
those
you.
Those look
for
terrible.
Him.
How could you ever wear those?
And too I was old like, for those.
Too I'm old too for old for those.
Too good.
They are too. You're too old for
they
those.
They looked good on you, Dave.
You're wearing a Tommy Bahama shirt right now. Do you think I'm going to take fashion advice from the Avalon driving Tommy Bahama
right.
wearing dude?
A man who a dude understands who's
wearing,
comfort.
Who's wearing a Tommy Bahama shirt and slides. It has nothing to do with comfort. I'm saying your style is horrendous.
Yeah, but I don't have douchey glasses on now,
they're
do I?
They're not even douchey. I didn't think that they were douchey even in the slightest.
Ned said the clear ones look bad, Dave. Okay.
But the so clear ones but the clear ones were the ones that
Mahoney
No,
the other
liked.
Ones look the other ones look good. You look like you're a professional, you look like you're a dad, you look like an adult. The other ones looks like you're like desperately trying to be like 22.
Wait, no, which ones did you say you liked? The clear ones or the ones that
were
like,
regular ones.
The regular ones.
Regular
yeah,
glasses.
Yeah.
Look good. And no,
everybody in our chat saying clear glasses are douchey.
Oh, well,
clear
I have a, well, douchey. I mean, okay, she, so then join in the chat because
yeah,
I've got a clear
pair of
glasses.
She off because
too.
She's an attractive woman. You are not an attractive woman, Dave.
I think what happens is I put those on and you're attracted to me and you're afraid of those feelings.
Scary.
That's what it is.
It's scary.
Yeah. So, it's scary. It's okay. Come here.
If you want to talk about bubbles being burst and attractiveness, my wife does this to me all the time. We'll be watching something like King of Queens. She'll just be like, man, I just think Kevin James is so attractive. And that's like, okay, like at least Kevin James is a younger, you know, he's kind of beefy dude. I'm still not great, you know, being associated with Paul Blart. But we've been rewatching Curb Your Enthusiasm. And my wife goes to me, she's, you know what? I actually think Larry David is a very attractive guy. And I go,
oh my God.
Okay. So,
my God.
Like, you can't, like, I never once, ever, when we are together, like since we've been together, him gone, you know what? I find that particular celebrity to be attractive. But like if she was saying that about like Henry Cavill or somebody who is
your wife just has horrible taste in guys. So you fancy yourself as a really good looking
like
dude.
Like a Henry Cavill.
Which is just not true.
Yeah. I mean, I got a chiseled jaw and you know, the very square head. So,
no, it's kind of the shape of a watermelon, I guess.
It's chiseled.
But, I mean, the fact that your wife thinks anyone is attractive if she just makes them, if they make her chuckle just a little bit.
Yeah.
That, I mean, that really kind of, I mean, that's, you can't get worse looking and her think, oh, he used to be such a dime piece because apparently she doesn't care about that.
Yeah, apparently not.
Yeah.
But if I lose my sense of humor.
Larry David is awful looking. He's hilarious.
The best.
But he is horrific looking.
Like, that is not what you want to hear from, like I would have been fine. Like I said, Henry Cavill, some other, like, super attractive.
No, who's the other guy from Forgetting Sarah Marshall? Like, what's his name?
Jason
Segel. Jason Segel.
Yes.
Same thing.
He's tall.
He's tall.
And younger, at least.
Kind of chunky. Yeah. But he's funny.
Or
you know?
Paul Rudd. She's like, Paul Rudd's great looking. I'm like, okay.
Okay, but whatever you see Jason Segel naked in that movie, it changes your perspective a little bit. Just like stay clothed. Do you remember that scene?
I think that's true for most of us.
That is the true dad bod. That
no,
all
nobody
of us
wants
have.
To see Mahoney naked.
It was bright.
He wants to see me naked.
I don't even think I've even seen my husband naked in the sunshine in like 6 years. Okay.
Please leave a message after the tone.
Yo, Dave. When Mahoney dunks on that ass, is he gonna be like, "Damn!" And you're gonna have to pay that $1,000.
Message deleted.
Mahoney already owes me $1,000 because I gave him a year to be able to dunk a basketball once, and he didn't even attempt it. It was always, I'm going to get skinny soon, and of course, it never happened. So, yeah, Mahoney already owes me $1,000.
I do not owe you $1,000.
I'll give you 3 months from right now if you want.
I'm never jumping again, Dave.
You're
Stop
never
trying
jumping again.
To make me. I have made a commitment
Cannot,
to, as an adult.
Yep.
My belief system that I am never going to jump ever again for the rest of my life. There is no reason for me to ever jump ever again, and I don't appreciate you constantly trying to get me to jump.
$2,000.
Like, you're literally trying to get me to jump through hoops. Like,
$3,000?
Like, I have made a life
choice. You don't jump through the hoop. You don't
even
know how to dunk a basketball.
Please respect my life choices.
Although, I imagine that if Mahoney did dunk, the way that he would react would be like this.
I could dunk all through high school.
Yeah, sure you could. Can't even touch the net now.
Oh, I can touch the net. Standing still.
Like literally just like put his pinky on the rim now.
Could not do it.
Bob Dangle from the pinky.
Please leave a message after the tone.
What's the weirdest birthday gift you ever got?
Message deleted.
The weirdest?
Did your wife buy you birthday gifts still?
I prefer not to. Can we just not?
I asked my wife to specifically not buy me gifts because...
Yeah, I don't like it because then there's this expectation that we're at the point now where we've got three kids. Like, can we stop trying to like wow each other with stuff? And then she's got this weird thing where she'll get me something great, but she still has that gift guilt, you know, where she's like, I don't feel like I got you enough. I don't feel like
you buy everything you want.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I feel like at this point, you know, gifts... As you get older, especially after you have kids.
Yeah.
Let's just not. There's no, like, after, what is it, 30? Are there any important milestones at all for us?
Yeah, I mean, I would rather have an experience together. So when I turned 40, we went on a trip and went over to Greece, and that was a great experience that we both got to enjoy together. But, you know, if, like, she buys me a pair of shoes, like, I have no impulse control. If I want shoes, I'm just going to buy them.
Same.
I don't want to wait until my birthday comes around at the end of June.
Ian, you and your girlfriend are thoughtful, and you still
well put.
Buy,
thanks, man.
Well, no, you are, but you still buy each other gifts.
Sometimes. Mine are more just like comedy stuff. I buy her dumb stuff. Like, she's the one who really goes all out, and I just feel really bad.
Yeah, she got you like a really awesome book last year, right?
Yeah, you guys.
A very thoughtful book.
Was it like a $500
book?
Yeah,
very expensive $400 book.
Yeah.
And you bought yourself the same book, but didn't have
the
heart to tell
her. And then I bought myself the same book. Yeah.
Wait, you have like $1,000 worth of books?
What kind of book budget do you have?
It's pretty wide, guys. I'm doing pretty well for myself lately.
Good for you.
Stop stories!
Here's what's making news.
Can you imagine being a 12-year-old kid and you're out looking for stuff and you stumble across a dinosaur skeleton?
What?
Because that's what happened. He is an amateur paleontologist who was out hiking with his dad in a fossil-rich part of Alberta this past July. Saw some bones protruding from a rock. The boy, whose name is Nathan, says when he first laid eyes on the bones, he was, quote, literally speechless. He's been interested in dinosaurs since he was six, often goes hiking in this particular area. A year ago, they found some small bone fragments of fossils, and his father guessed that they were falling from the rock above. So this summer, Nathan decided to inspect. The fossilized bones were growing out of the side of a hill. Nathan knows that the fossils are protected by law, so when he got home, he went to the website for the museum, which is located in Alberta, and devoted to the study of prehistoric life. And the museum told him to send photos of the discovery and the GPS coordinates, which they did. The museum sent a team of experts to excavate. They found between 30 and 50 bones in the canyon's wall, all belonging to a Hadrosaurus.
Excuse me?
What? I don't even know what a Hadrosaurus is. Do you guys?
I don't even know how to spell it.
Hadrosaurus.
Does that sound like a joke?
Hadrosaur?
Hadrosaurus.
Oh, it says it's a crustacean, so it's like a crab kind of thing?
Okay.
Wait, no, it says crustaceous period. Wait, so that's different.
It's Cretaceous, but...
Oh, it's like a duck.
It just looks like any other dinosaur.
It's like Ducky from...
It kind of looks like Denver the Last Dinosaur.
The Land Before Time?
Yeah.
Do you remember Denver the Last Dinosaur?
No, I don't.
Anybody?
No.
Nobody remembers? He was a guitar. He was a dinosaur that came. They found him. He came back to life in the 90s, and he played the guitar, and he had a badass theme
song. Was this a show?
Yeah, it was a cartoon.
What did you watch when you were a kid?
Denver the Last Dinosaur. It was like, and they had an awesome theme song. It was like, Denver the Last Dinosaur. He's your friend and so much more. He's Denver.
Your friend with benefits?
And then he played like guitar and it was awesome.
He's your friend and so much more. Yeah. I don't like that being in a theme song of a children's show.
He was a skateboarding guitar playing dinosaur.
You know what?
What could you want more from the 90s?
That's enough for today.
Way out in the land of the setting sun, where the wind blows wild and free.
There's a lovely spot, just the only one, that means home sweet home to me. If you follow the old Kit Carson trail till the desert meets the hills, oh, you certainly will agree with me, it's the place of a thousand thrills. Home means Nevada, home means the hills, home means a sage in the pine. Out by the Truckee silvery rills, out where the sun always shines. Here is the land that I love the best, fairer than all I can see. She's deep in the heart of the Golden West. Home means Nevada to me. One more time now. Home means Nevada to me.